Well, there were some similarities in both our sermons, but we all teach from the same Bible. And my verse this morning is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But before I tell you guys the verse, I want to give a little bit of an introduction. And the introduction is, I don't know how to say it. Think of the reason you are here, especially if you are born again. I was just thinking, the words the scripture uses are found nowhere else. You may find them somewhere else, but they do not have the same meaning. The scriptures talk about being born again. What is that? Being born of the Spirit. And in my own life, I feel like I'm being born again over and over again. Salvation is getting sweeter and sweeter. The Bible is getting sweeter and sweeter. God is getting better. I want to worship God more. I'm worshiping God more for who He is. And I want to help you guys, if God helps me, to just enjoy and celebrate our God, worship Him for what He's done for us, for His salvation. We have a great salvation, and that's what I want to talk about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some of you probably already know where I'm going. Verse 17. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I think this is a great verse. And I want to talk about the reality, I think, and remind us what is true of us. One thing about being a born-again Christian is that you are living a life that is already yours in Christ. We are not trying to become Christians. We're not trying to change our hearts. Our hearts have already been changed, and that's the greatness of our salvation. And that's what I want to talk about and remind you all of the greatness of what God has done for us in Christ. So the first thing, we'll break this verse into two parts. The first one being, if anyone is in Christ. If anyone, the word anyone, it's simple, it'll be brief, but it's just a good reminder, I think, of what God has done for us. If anyone is in Christ, it does not matter who you are. You don't have to be rich or poor. You don't have to be black or white. If anyone is in Christ, Christ welcomes anyone who thirsts. And this room is proof of that. We all come from different places. But if we're in Christ, we are a new creation. The second part is, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I mean, the verse seems so simple, but again, I just want to remind you all of the greatness of what God has done. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, or she is a new creation. She will not be a new creation. We are already new creations in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation, no exceptions. I was just thinking, we've been praying for our little children here. I just had a child of my own, so I understand that more than I did before. But it does not matter the age of the child. Is she in Christ? Is he in Christ? Then he is a new creation. You can't say or can't think that, oh, they believe now, they're in Christ now, but they'll look like him later. No, brother. They are in Christ. They are a new creation. There is no middle ground. You cannot be half in Christ and half in the world. You cannot be half created and half not created. You are in Christ. You are a new creation. I think this is very helpful to me. As I've grown closer to the Lord, this has helped me to plead, to grab a hold of the promises that God gives us in His Word, because I don't have to prove Him anything. I don't have to say, God, until I am here, I can confidently come to you and ask for this. No, I say, God, I'm your child. I'm in Christ. Therefore, this is mine. Is He not in my life? I pray that He might be in my life. And that's the encouragement I want to bring to you guys. And this is simple, but I've already mentioned it. He is. It's present tense. Yes. Thirdly, and this is where we'll spend the most of our time, is the third part. But let me read the whole verse again. Let's read it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You know, as I said already, the way the Bible speaks, no other book speaks like it. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What is the old and what is the new? That's what I want to speak about next. You know, another way, in short, we once were dead in sin, but now we're dead to sin. I like how Leonard Ravenhill puts it. He said there are only two kinds of people in the world, only two, not black or white, rich or poor, but those either dead in sin or dead to sin. And what does it mean to be dead to sin? It's being alive to God. And I want to speak a little bit about that. I think if you are maybe even a new Christian, you may be wondering what words is he using. The truth is, most of us, I don't know the percentage, but I remember when the Lord saved me, I was just reading the book of Matthew. I didn't know any other book in the Bible. So we kind of have to get used to how the Bible speaks, what the Bible says. I mean, I'm using the words dead and alive. What does that mean? But I trust that you guys know what I mean. But I'll read a few verses and let the Bible speak for itself. And I don't know whether to let you guys turn there. But one of them is going to be in 1 John. This is what the Bible says. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. I want to focus on the part, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And what are the works of the devil? Sin. So the Son appeared to destroy sin in you and me. If you're a Christian this morning, it cannot be any other way. The Lord cannot live in you, and you have sin in you. He destroys sin in us. But I want to encourage you guys here. This should not be a discouragement to you if you're a Christian. This should be an encouragement. The Lord does not say you must destroy sin. Yes, somewhere He says that. But the initial truth is He does that in us. He must destroy sin, and He does destroy sin, and that's why He says we are a new creation. And this verse the Lord used in my own life when I was afraid. I had sin in my life. And this verse was such an encouragement. And in believing it, the Lord set me free. John 8, 34 and 36. Maybe we'll go there. John 8, verse 34 to 36, but I'll focus on 34 and 36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. My aim again is to remind you of what the Lord has done for us. Brethren, this is the Lord. This is what he says. This is why he died for us, to set us free from sin. And we are free indeed. Hallelujah. We must believe these words and we must claim these promises because the Lord has given them to us. So again, the Bible says that we were not ransomed with silver or gold. Those cannot set a man free from sin. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins, as Hebrews says. Only the precious blood of Christ can set a man free from sin. And I'm reminding you all that this is not to happen in the future. This has happened to you if you are a Christian, and should be in increasing ways. Therefore, the new has come. Well, the third part of the verse, which is, the old has passed away, behold, the new has come. We already saw that the old was sin. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to our own flesh. The passions of the flesh led us in sin. We were captive to the devil. But we've become new. We've been set free from sin. But the Lord does more than that. He doesn't just set us free from sin. He gives us life in God. And I want to remind you of that as well. Christians are not people who are only focused on killing sin. Yes, they should be. But they are more focused on the beauty of God. And that's what motivates us, brethren. We've been changed. We have hearts that are able to love God. And so I want to talk a little bit about the new, the life that we have in God. The Son of God did not just appear to destroy the works of the devil, as we already read. He did not just die for our sins. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in the newness of life, as Romans 6 says. And he himself says in John, that he came that we might have life, not just life, but abundant life. You know, unfortunately, this word is so misused by people who do not understand what grace is. What is abundant life, brethren? It's life with God. Not life with more material possession, but life with God. Look at the life of Christ. Was that an abundant life? Yes. How much did he have? Materially speaking, nothing. But he had all because he had God the Father with him. And that's the abundant life that Jesus gives his children. And finally, I could not think of a better word to show this kind of life that the Lord, that is ours in the Lord, than what we find in Psalm 42. Let's go there. Well, we sing the song, so we are familiar with these verses, Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? How amazing are these verses! This is not just ink on paper. This is reality. These are not just words that sound good. This is what is ours in Christ. How amazing, brethren, that now we have love. We have hearts that are able to love God. Not only able to love God, hearts that desire Him, hearts that pant after Him, hearts that long after God. This is the abundant life. Think of the things that you longed for before you were born again. I like how Tozer says it. It's just wood and metal, houses and cars and what, and those things are good. But think, brethren, think, we're created in the image of God. But men are satisfied with wood and metal. Money, wood, paper. But look at what the Lord has done for us. As the deer pants after water, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So brethren, I want to encourage you all that first of all, you do not force yourself to have this. This must be yours. You're either in Christ or you're not. Now you might be thinking, I am in Christ, but my soul does not pant like this after God. Yes, that is where I want to encourage you. This can be yours. It's already yours in a sense, and it can increasingly be so. And do not be satisfied by just killing sin. That is one side of our salvation. The other side, greater side, is that we have God living in us. And that's what I want to leave you guys with. Do not be satisfied. Maybe I want to encourage the new Christians who are recently saved. I remember in my own life when the Lord first saved me, sin was so wicked and I ran away from sin, as far from sin as I could. But I don't know if I enjoyed the Lord as much as I should have. He was precious. I wanted to please Him. So brethren, do not forget to please the God who has redeemed you. He's bought for us a great salvation. He's poured His blood for us that we might have hearts that enjoy Him, hearts that love Him, hearts that long for Him. So enjoy the Lord. He's already yours. There is more in Him. We'll stop here. Let's pray. Oh, Father, Your salvation is great, O God. Father, we thank You that You give us this heart in Christ, Lord. We are new creations in Christ. Lord, we thank You that we grow in our love for You, that our hearts love You, that, Lord, that You have not just forgiven us our sins, but You have given Yourself to us. So, Father, I pray, as a congregation, come, give us life, abundant life, Lord. Live within us. Help us enjoy who You are, who we are in Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.